And God spoke to Moses, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God, bring us out of our slavery and into your presence. Amen. So this past week, I walked through the sanctuary with two of our office angels, Melinda and Kathy. And it was their first time seeing the production setup that we have here that makes it possible for our worship services to come to you each week. It is a strange landscape to behold, for sure. There are cameras, there are microphones, there's a workstation with a soundboard and a monitor, and there are cords everywhere, everywhere. It's been an adjustment for me to preside in church in this way, to preside in worship like this. And yes, it is definitely different, and it is definitely church. I imagine the places that you see on your screen are familiar in some ways and strange in others. And I have found that I want to keep myself very deliberately anchored in a place of worship, to embrace each of these different scenes that you see, which are sanctuary to us, sanctuary to you. I want to embrace each of those places that Deacon Eric and I move to, and you should see us. We like dart between things in order to get to where we need to be. But each separate place, each is a precious location of the sacred flow of our praise and prayer. But it's easy to get pulled into the technology of it all, as we strive to bring meaningful sense to a worshipful space, to this space for us and to you in your homes. I am so grateful for each of the different ways that each person in this space works so hard to stay present to worship. But it's still a little strange to me when Rod gives us a cue to be ready for the next movement in the worship screen, live in 10, 9, 8, and thank God that he does. And thank God that Sue Matsui reminds us each week, is it time to pray before the service starts? Today we meet Jesus in the temple. And if this were 2021 for him, we might wonder what he might think about all these trappings that we have. Would he take a hedge trimmer to the power cords? I'd like to think that he would praise what is happening in this place. But in the same way that we need the electricity and all of these things to bring worship to you, the Jewish temple system at the time, as it was then, needed cattle and sheep and doves and money changers to keep that system going. This is the way of the world in Jesus' time. What was originally intended as a way to provide a convenience and access to temple worship for people who traveled from far away and didn't want to bring those animals with them for sacrifice, they were given this opportunity to purchase them in that place. It's an essential element of the faith of the people to be able to sacrifice to God in the temple. But it has become a stumbling block for many. The people carry the coin of the empire, which needs to be exchanged into the currency of the temple, with, of course, an added surcharge, so that they can purchase the now overpriced animals used in the temple rites. Jesus sees the way that the system has been abused, used against the faithful. In Matthew and Mark and Luke, Jesus berates the merchants and the money changers, labeling them as thieves and crooks. But in John, what we hear is not so much a condemnation of the individual behaviors of the people, but of the ways that the temple has been degraded. The center is no longer worship of the Most High God, but some misguided devotion to keeping the structures that support that broken system intact. All the while, it exploits the faithful, the desires that they have to fulfill the necessary requirements that they must have to be given access to worship. Jesus revealed that what was intended as good and holy has become something completely different. I'm reminded in our time of how the social media platforms that many of us rely upon and often bemoan and curse began with this bright and hopeful promise of connecting us in new and creative ways. But over time, the use and abuse of those vehicles for reasons of malintent have caused many of us, myself included, to descend into silos of our own making, seeing only the reality we choose to see, forcing us to determine truth from fiction. This morning, during the penitential order that opened our worship in Lent, we petition God in the Decalogue, a paraphrasing of the Ten Commandments. In this, we seek to return to the original goodness in which God created us. In this, we seek to return to the way that God intended for us to be in relationship with God's self and with each other and all of creation. In this, we hear God's voice. We hear God saying, "Love me, love each other, live fully in the love of the one who has made you." So the Ten Commandments are not like 10 principles for success that we might find on the internet. They are much more. Imagine the Israelites, newly freed from slavery, hearing God's words for the first time to a community whose national identity was steeped in generations and generations of forced labor and oppression of their bodies and minds and spirit. God says, "You are now free. You are free to worship, to believe, to live in the knowledge of my love for you. You are released from the yokes and the cruel labels that have been placed on you. You are mine, and you are precious. Here is a way that you can be in community that will open up your life fully." These words, these 10 words, as they're called, are my gift to you in your new life in me. What Jesus does is shocking in the temple that day. It was meant to be shocking. The disruption brings activity to a stop, at least for a period of time. And it's unlikely the system was destroyed in that moment, no matter how intense the event was at the time. But it got people's attention. The wake of what Jesus did on that day was present in that time. Much the way a storm leaves debris and damage in its path, much in the way that the litter of protest signs, shards of broken windows on the streets, may bring our minds to consider the ways of being that may have led to the events that left those disturbing remnants behind in the first place. We are challenged to question what has become entrenched, what has become acceptable, what has been lost in the original intent, the original blessing and inspiration given to us by God. Now, I want to caution us against using this text for a validation of violence on the left or the right, as we've seen and heard in the recent past. But I pray that we might see in the aftermath of Jesus turning the tables what he is drawing our eyes toward, where he is asking us to look. He's asking us, he is calling our attention to God, pointing to the presence of God in the person of himself, in the incarnation. His very presence, his body, is the presence of holiness among them. He is the temple, and he is worthy of praise. Whether our mighty buildings, our entrenched systems fall today or tomorrow or the next, God in Christ is with us, remains with us always. What has been created here at St. Mark's is unique in many ways. You know, Deacon Eric is always telling us that he lifts up this church as an example of what others might bring in authentic worship online. Not only as something that we can watch on a screen, but as a living experience and something to continue even as we seek to join together physically once again, hopefully very soon, to worship in this space. But this space is more than it was before. It has become more. This time of virtual gathering has given us a church, has given a being church to many who are outside of what we knew as our congregation. This opportunity for wider accessibility to carry the gospel is no small gift and no minor responsibility for us as we continue to be Christ's church. We will want to imagine how we can continue to be an imagined church in multidimensional ways. This time of pandemic, as evil and as awful as it has been, has given us this somewhat of a gift of holy disruption. Much in the way that new life springs from the forest floor that had been burned to the ground, the green tips of the crocuses are beginning to emerge. God is so good. God is so good and provides such surprisingly precious ways for us to connect with God's self and with each other. Who ever thought a year ago we would even have contemplated something like drive-through communion? Some might worry that people won't come back into the building when we fully reopen, that they won't come back to church. I mean, why come to Sunday church if God is available and present anywhere and everywhere? Well, I think it is simply because the good news is often hard to remember once we get out into the business and the busyness of our daily stuff, the graces and the hardships, the challenges and the joys. I suspect that quite often we come to church just so that we can share those things with each other and with God. And despite the knowledge that God is in all places at all times, let's face it, the Holy Presence feels much more present when we can be there and see each other, hold hands, and greet each other in the peace of Christ. But it doesn't make what we do right now in this time any less together. Yes, God is out there, God is in here, and God is in this place and in your home too. As we come physically closer to each other, I suspect that we will not be completely contented with our former ways of being. That Holy Spirit, you see, she has been active in us even as we have been apart. With God's inspiration, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Trinity that is in and around us always, we will likely add some additional inventive and creative ways of being St. Mark's to our already pretty darn good collection of tricks. And to that I say, thanks be to God.